Hey, thanks for tuning in to another episode of the How to Become an Elite Financial Advisor podcast. I wanted to extend a personal invitation. If you had questions about coming to our How to Charge Live event in April of 2025, that you would go to howtocharge.live.com. That's howtocharge.live.com. Click on a button there that says schedule the call. And I'd love to answer any questions you have about coming to our event in April. It will sell out, but if you have questions, I want to answer them as quickly as possible so you can get your seat to that event. I look forward to seeing you here with us in April. And now, enjoy today's episode.
Welcome to the podcast. We have to make this one fast. Basketball is about to start.
March Madness.
It's March Madness.
Oh, by the way, did you know that where we're at in the pool for the team? You and I are tied for first.
And you almost didn't do it.
Along with Sam.
He's going to win. he's our portfolio manager, right. So he's an analyst.
Along with Kendall. So we have a four-way tie for first, and then Shelby's in fifth.
You never know.
Gave her some stuff.
Yeah, day one was not nice to me, but we'll figure it out. Well, today I want to talk about trends. I was listening to a podcast the other day, and they were diving into like deep history stuff. And it triggered me with the idea, when things are playing out, when most people are aware of it, that trend or the momentum of that shift has probably been happening for like 5 to 10 plus years.
Yeah.
And there's always these special people that know about it, whether they just are always studying or they're just more aware than most of us. And so I want to unpack today, like what trends are happening in our business that the busy advisor with their head down, that you're probably missing it.
Yeah. I want to start with a really sad, discouraging story about me personally.
Nice.
Thank you for
laughing. I think you're great. Everybody always looks forward to these.
Well, because I looked it up today, I used to live in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and I knew this kid. And this is 15 years ago when I remember conversations with this kid. And he's like, man, there's this thing called Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. And I was like, dude, what kind of weird? And he's like, I mine them in my basement. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And it's all he ever wanted to talk about. All he ever wanted to talk about. And I think he was a college kid. So I remember what this was, 2015. Do you know how much Bitcoin was in 2015? Under a dollar.
10 cents.
Under a dollar. So if you want to be depressed, look at what Bitcoin's price is today. You just crossed 85K or something like that. But
it was, hindsight will beat you up, bro.
Right. But what it reminded me of, I thought of that and then another, because there's that trend I did not engage in nearly enough. And the other was, I remember first time, and I want to hear if you've ever missed a trend, because we're all guilty of this, and that's the point of the episode is, I remember a year about texting for the first time. Like as a thing. And it was like, in Asia, people are texting. And I'm like, how dumb is that? Why don't you just call someone? Isn't that faster? Mm. Now today, I like don't have the phone icon as a button on my phone. I don't even know where I'd have to tell Siri to call people because I don't. So the shift is there are people who see trends, who take part in trends, and some trends come and go. Mm-hmm. But today we want to talk about how can you be more aware of trends and not get caught up in them as entrapped by them and distracted by them, but still be aware. So just real quick, I did too. Mm-hmm. Have you ever missed a trend, Sten?
Nope. No, I'm kidding.
Okay. All right. We're moving on.
For sure. What's interesting about when I look back at different trends, like social media, personally, I've never been excited about, but as a business owner, I think I missed it in that some trends will not hit you. And you may be confused by them. It's like, why would anybody ever do that? I think as a business owner, you have to be aware of, will this trend affect most of my customers?
Yeah.
And so the idea of the people that were like, I may not be in social media. I don't want to be on my phone all the time, but I bet most people would.
Yeah.
And in the future, you're going to interact with people in this way.
Yeah.
I think the foresight of that is great. I bet some of the best marketing minds that maximize social media have none on their phone, you know. So as we unpack these trends today with you, don't immediately dismiss them. And if you're a business owner saying, hey, what I'm doing now is working just well enough, trends probably don't impact me. Oh, they will. You know, these will become the stories someday where you're like, dang it, like I missed it. Not that you need to be like swept up in it yourself, but as a business owner that's serving people, how are these trends affecting your business?
Absolutely. And I think one of the core lessons we're going to hopefully instill in you today is leave enough bandwidth in your life, in your business, in your personal development to dip your toe into some trends. Because when you completely ignore them, then you will miss them. But also I know people are like, I'm going all in on blank. And I'm like, I mean, that's that story doesn't usually end well when you go all in on blank.
Right. And when you hear a story from somebody where it did, you're probably not hearing the five that didn't.
Right.
Because I meet people that just take swings. Like they're investors, business owners, and they're buying stuff and investing in companies. And there's a lot of times where we meet a year later and it did not go well.
Mm.
But you hear about the one that did. And so I do believe that as a business owner, there's times where you have to take big swings if you want to get big returns. But I've found the people that do that are pretty methodical. They research. They're curious. It's not like a blind shot in the dark kind of moment.
Yeah.
Which you find investors doing that a lot. For everybody listening, you've had the client where it's like, hey, I have this thing. I think it's going to work. I want to go for it. And it's based off nothing but my buddy told me it was going to be great. What's really tough about that is I have clients where they look back and they're like, one of them worked. Oh, I can't believe I missed it.
Yeah.
Let's think about the 20 you didn't that would have gone to zero.
Yeah.
So trends can be emotional. Hindsight is difficult at times. We don't give ourselves credit for the ones we didn't get hurt by. It's usually the one that we missed.
Right.
So as we unpack these, the first one I want to talk about is the aging advisor population. If you are active in this business and you plan to be in this business for 10 years or longer from this point forward, you have to be aware of this trend. That the average financial advisor, I hear different numbers, I think it's somewhere around 56 years old. And so for every advisor that is under 56, there's an opportunity. It may not be tomorrow, but this trend will catch up with us.
And I think the most, as we were doing research for this, you know, that number is correct. That's 56. You're right. You nailed it. I think the alarming one is, okay, but how many of them are going to stay in the business over the next 10 to 20 years?
Hmm.
And what's truly alarming, it's like, wow, that they're pretty old. Well, most financial advisors spend most of their day thinking about and helping people with retirement. So most of them don't want to delay their retirement. So here's another crazy stat. 40% of advisors are going to retire in the next 10 years. Like you only have to do that 10, 20 years. Then you're like, wait a minute, we are like, that is a big hole in the bucket that is holding advisors.
Have you heard of the population trends in other countries?
Yeah.
I was on a podcast themselves? And supposedly China is like going to cease to exist in like 30 years.
Yeah. Because you think about it, two people need to create two people in order for this, right? At least. And, you know, that's why they've gotten rid of the one child policies. They're like, oh, wait, we need people, right?
And that's wild to think of in today's world and economy, because you're just holding true of what you know today. But I think what's valuable about being aware of trends is saying, if what's happening today, which does not seem like a problem, continues, a problem is going to emerge. And as a business owner, am I positioning myself to positively benefit from whatever that trend is? And I think trends are constant. The one thing we know is everything today could look different. I think it's one of the things where like the top 20 companies in the world didn't exist 20 years ago.
Right.
And it would be foolish to think the change is going to stop. And so as a business owner, as we try to rise above, hey, things seem like they're going great now, let's just ride this wave in ignorance because change is difficult.
Yeah.
I don't want to go through the discomfort of that. You know, it's like me having to reinvent my business to think more about financial planning and ideas versus like selling AUM at all cost.
Yeah.
Because if you were in this business 30 years ago, 40 years ago, you sold stocks and you made your money by buying and selling stocks. I bet there are advisors that rode that down in flames because they just couldn't change. Or it was all about A-share mutual funds. I was at a firm like that when I started my career. It was A-shares all the time. Commission, commission, commission. Or it was insurance is the answer to every problem. And those things have shifted. The industry is shifting underneath us. And what I see, unfortunately, is advisors still holding on to AUM. It's what I've come to know, and it's safe and it's easy. That we have to be willing to, it's not completely break what we're doing, but be willing to constantly question it.
So I wonder, you who are listening, which camp you fall into. I mean, I think that if you listen to the show, you are progressive in thought towards like, I want to progress, I want to grow, right? I want to change. I'm open to change if you're listening to this podcast. But I also think that there's a population of advisors who they're not thinking about the direction or trends because they're just trying to keep their head above water, right? There's that reality. Then there's the other. So that's sort of like, I can't think about where I'm going because I'm just trying to stay above water. But then there's the others that are like, I like the lane I'm in. Mm-hmm. I'm doing well. I'm making twice as much as the average person and I'm not working, you know, 90 hours a week and I didn't have to go to medical school, right? Like it's all there. That's one, the comfort can be, a weight that that keeps us from considering trends, because a trend is something new. You might have to change. And so that's another reason people are resistant. So, Sam, what do you do specifically to stay open to trends, to growth, to you need to be open to change?
Because
I think you do a good job of it.
I think I do a better job now, because change was more thrust upon me enough times in business, whether it was losing key team members, whether it was leaving broker dealers for an unexpected reason, that there was a part of me, based on the way I grew up, of like, man, comfort's the goal. Like, if I can build something that works well enough, that my goal should then be, you know, my ship has holes, but I'm just going to patch them. Yeah. And if one breaks, I'm going to patch it again, versus saying, hey, what if while I'm patching this ship, I'm building a new one over here?
Right.
And to where it's like, I don't just blow this one up overnight and have no boat, but I'm like, I don't know if this boat's going to last forever. Like, it's supporting what I need it to today, but at some point, this is going to keep rusting.
Yeah, I think that's unique, Stan. I think most people are just in a maintenance, how can I keep this boat strong enough? And they don't leave enough mental capacity, time, and or emotional energy towards a trend, because, you know, trends come and go, right? Mm-hmm. But so do really core solid things. I mean, I won't bring up topics because I want to be tangential, but like, there are just products that people, I'll use one example, phone books. But when I was growing up, phone book advertising was a big deal. There's people who made a lot of money putting their ads in phone books, or selling ads for phone books. And it's now like, I haven't seen a phone book in 5 years, you know? So you have to be open to what is the trend that's coming. And yes, there are problems with that age, but what are some good things that can come out of that trend you see happening?
So if you're a young advisor, there's so much opportunity. Most clients do not stay with their advisor when they switch. If that advisor stays around and helps with the pass off, there's ways of increasing that. But losing your advisor, that's who people are loyal to, is a huge opportunity for that client to say, remember that advisor we were talking to a couple years ago that has added value to us? That I would encourage you to say, add value at scale to a lot of people. That's creating content, sending out videos. You can't afford to take everyone out to dinner and nurture them for 10 years in the hope someday they move their money after their advisor retires. But there is a way to serve people at scale when you meet with them or come into contact, to over time prove to them like, hey, I'm trustworthy and I'm going to be here.
Yeah.
So the trends we're going to talk about today are big ones. They're ones that are moving slower, and they're ones that I believe and I'm convicted in are not going to be come and go. Because once these things happen, for them to shift will take another 20 to 30 years. And so the first one, I think the aging advisor population is one. There's a succession opportunity in that. There's an opportunity to find these advisors to come into their practice to help them grow them for a better exit if you're young. There's practice acquisition opportunities. And so I think when you recognize a trend like this, you then need to step back and say, oh, what of this will most impact me?
Right.
Whether it's a negative thing or it's a positive thing, be aware of this trend.
Awesome.
All right, next one. And this is one Legacy is paying attention to. Me and my team are working on this now, is the transition of wealth to women. The stat, I think, is by 2030. The last one I saw, women will control a majority of the wealth in the United States.
Yep. By 2030, they're expected to control much of the $30 trillion in assets that baby boomers possess. And they're calling this the power shift of the century. And it's two main reasons. One is women as beneficiaries without living their spouses, and the other is divorce, right? That they're getting assets from that. What are you all paying attention to? What are the results of the trend? What does this mean?
I do think there's an element of spouses are not as heavily involved in the financial planning as maybe the earning spouses or whoever in the household has been in charge of the finances. So there's going to be this learning curve. Their instinct may be like, I don't want to change right away, which is fine. But there also would be this instinct of like, if there's another option I'm more comfortable with that I trust more, I'm very open to making a change. And so for us, we're trying to shift our language, where before I might've used some marketing that was specific to a really technical strategy for, say, a business owner or high earner that has been involved in their tax prep for a while, that's the language I can use for them. My language is now shifting more towards, what's your fear around money? how are you going to take care of your kids? And so I think it's just recognizing, are the pain points different, and how can we shift our language? The marketing pieces we're creating are more approachable, some more video oriented, so the relationship can be built over time, as opposed to, hey, let's just close a deal and get it in and out of here. So for us, we are preparing. This might be, I try to add some female advisors to my team to say, hey, how are we going to serve this market really well? How's our service model shift? And so I think it just presents a lot of questions that lead to a great whiteboard session with the team. Say, okay, here's how we've done it and it's working. But if we want to serve this market really well as it grows, how do we do it differently? And part of it is because over time, I was raised by a single mom. You know, we went through some hard transitions to where she didn't have advice and guidance. And so I have a heart for this market that over time, I've just received some great referrals of single women, or they've lost a spouse, or they've been divorced. And I've learned, like, I really enjoy working with that market.
Mm-hmm.
If you can serve them well, they trust you. They are loyal clients. They'll talk to you about other people they know. So for me, it's a market I'm saying, one, I have a heart for it, but also two, because this trend is happening, how can we start preparing for it now?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And these are things that people have been studying, and the trend is happening. It's not might happen. It is happening. The question is, and I think about this picture of, you know, when people want to go jump on a wave, they see it coming in the distance, and then they start moving, and then the wave sort of catches up with them. But the wave's coming, right? And the question is, do you care enough to try?
That analogy totally lands. Good job. Some of yours are like kind of good.
Some of mine are bad.
Yeah. But at least you try. But that was great.
Thank you. Thank you.
So start paddling is what we're saying.
So yeah. But these are things that we know to be true, because if you are thinking about a more male-dominated company and how it you know, how does Old Spice sell to me, and how does, you know, Dove sell to women? For they're talking about different things, same product but different things. And so it's as simple as, how are you going to change your language, right? And if you know it's coming, why would you not want to be ahead of that? And I think that the shift is not insurmountable. Right.
That's right.
It certainly can be done. But yes, transition of wealth to women is happening, and it's a massive trend.
The third one is upon us. I think these other ones are in the middle of their cycle and still coming.
Sure.
Starting to happen, but have not fully hit us. The industry shift to financial planning as the core offering is here. And we know that because we get calls from the biggest firms around the country saying, hey, how do we do it? How do we talk about it? What do we charge for it? And the data now supports that consumers see financial planning and consulting as a different product than buying insurance or managing investments.
Number one concern that advisors have as they talk to us, and we talk to hundreds and thousands on a yearly basis, the number one question they have is, how am I going to explain this to people in a way that they see it as something different? Okay, ready? 60% of consumers already see it as different. And so the advisors are like, but what if, it's like, listen, a majority of people already believe that planning is different. And the analogy we share is that if I wanted to go have someone design a house for me, I don't get a free house with it. Like they're an architect. They build a plan, right? And you are paying for a plan. Yep. And that it's as simple as that. You say, I'm going to build you a plan. And I can implement this plan as well. And here's the fee for that. But people already see this. Advisors sort of need to get over it and just recognize that consumers see financial planning as a separate fee product, and they want it.
I think the obstacle is that most advisors think they're doing financial planning, but they're not.
Sure.
And you don't really know what true financial planning is until you're exposed to it. And this was my story. I worked at, you know, a big insurance agency, and I was like, oh, we're doing financial planning because we're talking about stuff, but we sold insurance. And then I went to a big, you know, investment house. And it's like, well, we manage investments. That's the only thing we get paid on. But yeah, if they ask me, I tell them they need a will. And I'll say like, hey, you should talk to your CPA about this.
Yeah.
That is what I thought financial planning was, because that's just what I saw around me.
Yeah.
Until you get exposed to like, oh, wow, if someone pays $2,000, $5,000, $10,000 for a financial plan, where there's R&D, you're coordinating different things. Like, it's a totally different experience.
Yeah.
As an advisor, if we learn what that looks like, and then we learn how to speak about it and present it to a client, that's where the client's seeing it as something different. Where they don't see it as different is if you just charge them to do the same stuff you're doing now.
Yeah.
Which is like sprinkling a couple random ideas or responding when they have a question, but not proactively going to them with new ideas. and having a structure of meeting with them throughout the year, that is a financial planning consulting experience, not I manage your money, I'll talk to you once a year.
Right.
So I think advisors are having to wake up to like, oh, this is a different offering that requires a little bit more work and a process, and some technology makes it a lot better. And so for the advisor listening, if you are 10 years or less before you think you're going to retire, you can probably just keep doing what you're doing. And we've had some advisors come to our live events that have been in the business for 40 years.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
They're still hungry to learn. And they're like, man, I wish I learned about this 30 years ago.
Yeah.
An advisor that's been in the business for 20 plus years, you are so valuable right now. Like you are maybe more valuable than you've ever been. And the cost of what you're giving away for free or being unintentional with is staggering. We had a guy come that was 30 years in the business, was a huge guy. I mean, just a massive stud at one of the biggest places. And then he started his own RIA.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, this is a great idea. Like, thanked us for permission to do this. I think went home and did like multiple $30,000 consulting plans because he's like, oh, I have this client. And he just had to go to them and say, hey, by the way, I can help you with X, Y, and Z if you want it. And they were like, oh, great. Why didn't you say that sooner? But it was different than what he was doing. And they saw it right away.
Yeah.
And so part of us is, I want to say you have permission to get paid for your time and ideas, but the responsibility as a business owner is to say, okay, I need to understand it. I need to build a process so I deliver the value. And if you can do that, and we teach people to do this all the time, the client will happily give you a check.
Yeah. It is fundamentally the difference. I mean, we're in Franklin, Tennessee right now. Great community. I think about this. The difference between people who think they're planning and then people who are actually planning, to me, it's a lot like where I live and where you live. Okay, so I live in Spring Hill, and their idea of planning is when a builder says, I want to build here, they say, yes, that's their idea of planning. Franklin, on the other hand, planning is where are the parks, right? How are we going to have greenways? Where are we going to put schools? How are we going to keep this? Like, their idea of planning is thoughtful, and it balances. It's a lot of different things. Most advisors' idea of planning currently is, oh, yeah, I'll talk to you about this little stuff. But really, my answer is yes, as long as it's about selling you something. True planning factors in a lot of different things. Like, you've been to a great city and you're like, this city has everything. It has entertainment, it has housing, it has green space. It's truly well planned. Mm-hmm. Most people just only do what they get paid for. And so that's why they go, yeah, I'm just going to worry about houses because that's what I get paid for. The reality is that most advisors will do it once they break it down, which we do in a day and a half at our event, and say, this is worth it, and this is worth $5,000, $10,000, $15,000. Then they'll do it, but they just don't know how to price it. I think that's a massive obstacle.
And most clients do stay with their advisor. The stats say that a lot of advisors have great retention, not because they're great advisors, but just because it's like clients don't change their home and auto insurance very often,
right?
Or their bank because it's just a headache.
Yeah.
The impact of this trend will be clients will become more and more familiar with a different way of doing business. And your clients are susceptible if you don't start speaking to them in this way.
Yeah.
So the tool we built that we call PlanScore helps advisors build financial plans in a really unique way. But that tool also has PlanScore Lite. And we coach advisors, like, if you're not going to start charging tomorrow for your planning, you at least need to start speaking to your client in these terms so they understand it is a comprehensive process that breaks their financial plan down into 6 or 7 categories. So step one of this, if you're saying, hey, I'm resistant, I don't want to charge for this, that freaks me out, learn the language that your clients will start running into so they're not surprised and intrigued by it. Step two of this, if you're going to be in this business for 5 to 10 or plus years, like, this is the future advisor. The future advisor will get paid for their time and ideas so they don't feel like they have to sell something right away. But then this advisor will also have superpowers, whether it's in money management or insurance, and you will be able to help them with implementation if they want to do it with you. I have amazing clients that love real estate. They invest in businesses and they don't really want to buy something right now. Maybe they want some insurance, but they need help. They need ideas. They need coaching, encouragement, and they will pay you well for that. And right now, most advisors don't even have that offering.
Absolutely. The stat, and again, we can link to these sources in the show notes for all this research that we've pulled up. But one of them is that 56% of consumers right now are already open to. Let me stop and restart. 56% of clients are already open to paying for financial advice, and that's up 5% from last year. So let's just assume that goes up another 5. Like, you have a better than 50% chance of someone saying yes right now to paying for financial advice. I actually spoke with an advisor this week who had said, hey, you know, I've been consuming your content. I'm 0 for 15 with pitching planning. And I said, well, good news and bad news is that I know what the problem is. Mm-hmm. And it's you, because consumers want to pay for this. It's about how you present it. So people want it.
Yeah, I think some of that is, it doesn't mean somebody has to buy it right away. I have clients that I present a financial plan to. They're like, wow, this is really refreshing. And then I call them in 3 months and they're ready to do it. Mm. You are presenting something that they probably haven't heard before. Everybody they've met before has tried to sell them something. And when you tell them that, like, hey, a lot of advisors you may meet with are going to want to sell you insurance or investments. Those products are probably needed at a certain time. But what I find is a lot of times you need guidance and ideas first. And you need a plan that actually makes those products make more sense. And you see this like relief, this like, oh, wow, this makes way more sense than anything I've heard of before. And so what can you practically do as a next step? I think step one is learn to understand that your value is there apart from the product. That's kind of the head trash we have to overcome. And then it's, how do you start speaking about a financial planning process in a way that the client understands it's an engagement?
Yeah. I want to encourage people I'm going to interrupt because I want people to go back 30 seconds and re-listen to what you just said about how Sten explained financial planning. Because if you just say that, so much of what we do at Elite Advisor Network and our coaching program is like, just say this, say the exact phrase. People go, well, yeah, I do want that. Yeah, I do understand how every time I go to my advisor, they want to buy more insurance or invest more money. But like, it does make sense use that language. Absolutely. That's really good.
So you believe in your value, learning how to communicate it, and then having a process that makes it efficient. I think advisors that we get fired up about financial planning, where we've given them permission, like, hey, you're more valuable than you think you are. And then they learn to present it to a client and get a yes. They then get hung up on like, well, now what do I do? And it can feel much more labor intensive than, hey, I manage this investment account and I talk to somebody once a year. Yeah, that's much easier or less resistant. But when the confidence you can step into when people start writing you checks to sit in the room and guide them, you will become a different advisor. And I look back when I was a young advisor and I was trying to gather AUM and insurance. So if you're in your first 5 years of this business, even up to 10, imagine from this day forward, when you meet with somebody and they don't need to buy something from you, they'll still pay you. Like, you're not giving away all your time and ideas for free for 5 to 10 years to hopefully sell enough stuff to eventually be comfortable. I look back at all the meetings I had with the high earning couple that didn't have a big 401k or want to buy a bunch of insurance, but they would have paid me $2,500 for a great financial plan. Every advisor listening has probably missed 20 of those, 50 of those, 100 of those, depending on how long you've been in the business. So my hope is today you get curious and say, okay, I don't believe Sten and Andy, but seems like a lot of people are doing it, making money. So maybe there's something there. I need to be open-minded. But then learning that you have an offering for when somebody comes in your office, you don't have to say, you don't have enough money for me to work with you, or how do I convince them to buy more insurance that they maybe need, but maybe don't. You say, hey, insurance is important. We'll get to that. Hey, your assets are doing all right. I want to dive deeper into that, but I'm not going to hard sell you. What you really need is a plan. And whether we work together or not, I want to give this process to you because there's a chance you have never experienced financial planning in this way. Can we get together next week? It's this calm confidence and conviction behind it that I want every advisor to have. But that takes time because it's counter to what the industry has taught us.
Yeah. It's not a desperation of please buy from me right now because I need this commission. It's that I'm going to walk with you for a very long time. We're going to do some things that are more complex. And whether this is your first episode or your 100th episode, that we want to encourage you, if you have not been to How to Charge Live, we have just a few tickets left for our April event, but we're also going to be taking deposits for our October event. That's our next one. And so go to howtochargelive.com and you can see if you can get one of the remaining few tickets left there, or you can just hold your spot for October. But that's where we teach this in a day and a half. And of course, we want to continue to add value, and we will through the podcast. But if you really want to take this and make it a part of your business, then we want to spend some time with you, and we guarantee that it will work. So Sten, leave folks with a real practical piece of advice regarding trends that they're like, you know what, Sten, I am a creature of comfort. I kind of dismiss trends quickly. What's something they could do on a practical level to help them be open more to trends and pay attention?
Yeah, I think step one for me is trends are happening. So there's nothing to argue there. I think it's your process and your level of awareness of what is happening and how it's going to impact you. So for me, practically, it's schedule 30 minutes to an hour on a whiteboard in the next week or two, and it'll feel uncomfortable at first. to say, okay, I'm going to start writing every trend I can think is happening in my business with my clients, and don't overthink it. Just get them on the whiteboard and then go through and try to narrow it down to maybe two, and then say, okay, as a business owner, how am I going to start preparing for these trends? Step one is usually research. I'm going to find out, what do I not know about this trend? How long has it been happening? What are other firms doing? And that's one great thing about our community is our advisors say, hey, what is everybody doing with this?
Okay, right.
Like, we share that information so you don't have to do it alone. Is just try to be aware and avoid, for the benefit of your future self, 10 years from now, looking back and be like, I was told about it and resistance won. I just didn't take action because the trends are coming, and are you going to be on the right side of it or the wrong side of it?
Yeah, Bitcoin. Okay. All right.
Is it a buy? No, we're not going to say anything. All right.
No.
Thanks, bud.
All right. Thanks, Dan.
Sten here. Hope you're doing well. I want to ask you for a favor. My legacy team is growing, and I'm looking to fill a couple positions. I'm looking for an experienced advisor, somebody that can come in right away and start serving clients to help us handle the overflow of opportunities we have. But I'm also looking for up-and-coming advisors, a pair planner, junior advisor that wants to learn with me to come help level up our team, but also allow me to help them level up and scale their business quicker over time. If you are interested in this opportunity, or you know somebody that would be potentially a great fit, please email us at arome@investlegacy.com. We're happy to follow up with anybody, have a conversation with them. So if you can keep your eyes and ears open, I'd really appreciate it.